This is Chick Flick Fix. I'm Julia Scott.
And I'm AJ Knox.
We watch chick flicks and rom-coms and decide if they need fixing. Can we make them better or can we make them weird? This week, we're talking about Son-in-Law from 1993, which we picked, again, with a little bit of a cheat under the premise, it's about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It was directed by Stephen Rash and written by Fax Barr, Adam Small, and Sean Sheps, based on a story by Patrick Clifton, Susan McMartin, and Peter M. Lankov, because clearly this complex of a story needed a big creative team.
Oh my God. That is so many people.
Six people. And you wonder if it was like some weird, like they made a deal where like this person got credit because they came up with one joke, but still six people.
Yeah, that is really surprising.
It stars Pauly Shore, Carla Gugino, Lane Smith, and Cindy Pickett. Steve Rash also directed Can't Buy Me Love, which, you know, is a good movie, if problematic. But I love the IMDb trivia that he has directed a number of sequels. Bring It On, In It to Win It, Bring It On, All or Nothing, American Pie Bandcamp, Road Trip Beer Pong, and Xenon Z3. I would like to note that all of these titles have a colon in them, because that's how you know it's a good sequel. That you have to have the original title there, otherwise people won't see it. And I think almost all of these were direct to DVD.
I mean, who would have seen Road Trip Beer Pong if they hadn't already been familiar with the really complex road trip cinematic universe?
Oh, yeah, no, you'd be totally confused.
Yeah, you'd be lost.
So did you want to motivate the choice of this movie a bit more, or?
I suggested this movie because I remember watching it a lot as a kid.
Me too. It was on one of those movie channels, and I mean, much of it went over my head. I think also partly because as a, you know, like 11, 12-year-old in Sweden who had spent 6 months in Massachusetts, it was very hard for me to figure out, like, what of this is just Pauly Shore? What is California? What is, you know?
Right.
So I was just like, this is amusing. I'm confused. I remembered so much more of it than I thought I would have.
Me too. I was really shocked by that. And we used to actually have this on VHS in our family cabin. So it was one of like a handful of movies that were really inappropriate for children to watch. Another one was like Parenthood with Steve Martin, which is definitely
I think that is a very good example of a movie that people forget just how like intense and not child friendly it is. Because you're like, it's a funny little like story about, you know, siblings and kids.
No, it is a very adult movie. And so, yeah, we had this at our cabin, and I remember watching it on a loop. There was like, every time it would cut to the shot of the rooster crowing, I was like, oh, I remember that. I don't know why, but like little weird things I really remembered. And I was like, oh, it's also a romance. I recall it's like a rom-com about like a fish out of water Thanksgiving thing. So I was like, oh yeah, that should work. We can talk at the end, but I don't know how this falls into the rom-com category.
I think it depends on how you read the end.
Mm.
So what is this movie about, AJ?
It was a peaceful farming community. A place where everything had stayed the same for generations. They've always known that someday change would come, but no one expected it to come home with the girl next door.
Little America. Who the hell is that?
He's weird.
He's like nothing they've ever seen.
All right.
Just fish out of water, Pauly Shore.
It is a fish out of water, Pauly Shore movie. One of the many, and in a very fun little Easter egg, unofficial Encino Man sequel.
Right. It's a little Pauly Shore extended cinematic universe.
Yeah. And so Carla Gugino plays Rebecca, who will come to be known as Becca. She's from a pretty all-American white family in South Dakota. She's going away to college. She's got a boyfriend, a high school sweetheart, who wears his Letterman jacket. You know, very typical American. It feels very Midwest, even though it's the South.
He, in an early draft of the script, was, of course, called Chad.
Of course he would. He's Travis, but Chad would also be a very good name for him. So yeah, so her boyfriend Chad is also friends with Tracy, aka Kelly Kapowski, aka Tiffany Thiessen. She's not Tiffany Amber Thiessen in this movie because I think she's trying to distance herself from Saved by the Bell. So they're all there. She's going away to college. Dad has like that awkward like, oh, hey, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. And she's like, Daddy. And he's like, well, she's like, are you going to talk to me about the sex talk? And, you know, it's very, very typical kind of all-American stuff going on. She heads off. They take a little road trip with her little brother who is Hamilton from Sandlot. They road trip to California in like a funny little transition. It cuts from them driving through the South to them driving
the wide
in
open
LA.
Plains.
Yeah. And it's just as soon as they get to LA on their way to UCLA, it is just too busy, too crowded, too loud, too everything. They get to her dorm. They meet her roommate. The family meets her roommate. Her roommate is a lesbian. And in one of those moments where I thought, like, I couldn't tell in that moment is if the film was what the film's kind of take on it was, if it was trying to make fun of the family or trying to make fun of the couple. And it was a little hard
to
suss out. I
definitely read it as the family because the way that the kid brother reacts to it, where he kind of represents sort of just creepy masculinity everywhere.
Yeah.
I read it as like, this is shocking, but it's not like weird or wrong.
Yes. Okay. That's
and
a good
that kid
read.
Represents we have a lot of like different flavors of toxic masculinity in this movie.
We really do. Yeah.
But most of them have a redemption arc. Spoiler.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of this movie is like redemption arc the movie. It's very interesting how it kind of threads that needle. And so then they the dad is trying to open her trunk with her clothes, but they've left the key behind. So he goes across the hall to the RA. He's really excited. She lives across the hall from the RA, even though the whole hall is just like a party zone. RA is clearly not doing anything.
But I feel like that first time there's also like, it could just be sort of moving in day chaos. Like half the people there already know each other and it's kind of just like a party mood rather than a party. But yeah, it's chaos. And he's like, oh no, there's men everywhere.
And I will say, I definitely remember being really stressed out as a freshman on moving day with my family there, and they never came to another move-in day with me. Like, I came by myself because it was too stressful, and I felt, you know, in that teenage way, you feel embarrassed by your family and stuff. Like, you're just like, Mom, Dad, ugh. And so they kind of captured a lot of that anxiety really well, I thought. So he goes across the hall to meet Crawl, the RA, played by the inimitable Pauly Shore. And we get like a glimpse of his room, which is kind of a mishmash of like 80s tech and 60s hippie and early 90s.
And boobs.
Yeah. And, you know, he's hanging from gravity boots. He's potentially naked. And yeah. And kind of surprises the dad. And dad's like, oh no. We can't leave our daughter alone in this building with this man. Eventually, a family leaves, and we see a kind of a really quick glimpse at Becca's time at UCLA, where she's starting to get really homesick. She misses now I just want to call him Chad. She misses Travis. She keeps calling him. He's got something shady kind of going on, it feels like.
How much of that is just because he's a white man in a suit?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, see a white guy in a suit, you're like, sure, that guy's up to something.
And that is actually where, because I don't think the actor is that much older than an 18-year-old, but enough older that seeing him in like a button-up shirt just like enhances that feeling. If they put him in just like a polo neck or something, like a polo shirt, it wouldn't have felt as much like she's calling home to her 28-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And also the fact he also wears his Letterman jacket for the rest of the movie, which I think is a really nice touch. And so she has, it's Halloween. We cut to Halloween. They're at a Halloween party. Crawl is going as the Chiquita Banana Woman. I guess
but also with like whipped cream boobs?
With whipped cream boobs. Yeah. It's very, I'm not totally sure, but what I kind of really liked as this movie went along is how Pauly Shore's character in this movie is really coded as kind of genderqueer and kind of non-binary in some ways. In some ways, he's very hyper-masculine and toxic masculinity.
Exactly. In the beginning, he's super like, you know, honka honka, jugga juggas. And I'm just like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And in a way that I think at the time is supposed to read as just like, hey, he's a bro, no worries.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, I remember parts of this, even as like a, you know, a 12-year-old in the 90s, feeling like he is sort of the most sort of literal and original version of queer in like the queer theory sense, that he is unmoored but not in a negative way, like, right. Like he's fluid, because you're like, is he, because there's so much like gay coding, queer coding in the way that he acts towards people and in like his whole demeanor and clothes, in a way that doesn't just feel like, oh, he's a cool guy from California. And
yeah,
I remember appreciating that at the time, and now, because like the creepy honka honka guy kind of drops fairly quickly, like he keeps making little jokes about boobs, but they start to feel more and more like, you know, he's still that like 15-year-old kid in Vegas. Maybe he's never even actually touched boobs, like I think maybe he's like,
he keeps calling him cones, which I don't know, like some
it's
of
a
the
Madonna
weird
thing, maybe.
Yeah, what, some of the slang in this movie is like very funny, like very strange and surreal.
Some grindage.
Yeah,
but yeah, like he is a very interesting character in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and yes, yeah, so he's, you know, so he sees her. She's on a call to Travis, and she's like, "I'm coming home." Or she's about to call Travis. She's like, "I want to go home. I don't like it." He's like, "Yo, give me 5 minutes." So he tells her about his past and how he came to school. He was kind of a buttoned up, as she describes him. You're a nerd, which there's no shame in that.
No,
as a nerd myself. And he says, yeah, but I like, this is college, is supposed to be the best time of our life, so I just decided I want to stay here as long as I can. I'm majoring in everything. So
he's been there for 6 years.
Yeah, so he's just like keeps switching majors, and like that becomes a running joke of the movie. And he's not an idiot, like, you know, he's smart in certain ways, and he's learned a lot. But he basically tells her, like, this is supposed to be the time where you discover yourself, where you kind of shed your former life if it was making you unhappy, and you kind of become a new person and find your true identity. Which I was like, that's a really great way of looking at college in a lot of ways. I feel like it's,
and it, he it, doesn't at all take it as an opportunity to be like, hey, drink this, let's make out. Like, he doesn't say, like, you have to shed your good girl ways. He's just like, try on personalities, try on. There's a few seconds where I would have maybe liked there to be an insert where he's like, do you like this look? And not just assumed that she doesn't. But even so, he's like, hey, let's go, you know, look at stuff. And I just realized now, as I was thinking about it, she basically turns into Vivian from Pretty Woman.
Oh, she does. Yeah. Yep. So he's like, one of the things you're missing out is you haven't gone out in the city. And that was, somebody said that to me when I was in school in LA, and I was really unhappy my first year. They're like, you just got to go out and like get off campus. And I did it. And I was like, oh, this is a interesting, I still am not like a huge fan of LA, but it definitely like helped me in that transition. And so, yeah, they go shopping. She gets a makeover. She changes her hair. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. It's the guy giving the woman the makeover. And then we get to around Thanksgiving. He's about to stay at the dorms because he doesn't have anywhere to go. And he's going to eat his Hungry Man pilgrim dinner or whatever it is.
Pilgrim platter.
And she's like, just come home with me. Like, we'll hang out Thanksgiving. So thus begins the other fish out of water story, which is his fish out of water story. So he goes to
and
her
I feel
farm.
Like, because I was thinking about this, and I feel like even though Thanksgiving is one of those like very family oriented holidays, I feel like it is really one of those where you can bring someone home sort of unannounced because there's just so much food. There are already like 8 leaves. I mean, they have a fairly small Thanksgiving, turns out. But like, because for a second you're like, oh my God, don't do that. I would really have done something like that when I was 18. But I feel like it's not as big a deal as like maybe Christmas, you know?
Right. And because Christmas seems to be much more intimate. Thanksgiving is about, well, not this year, but Thanksgiving is about gathering a bunch of people and celebrating together and eating.
I see this as someone who has celebrated Thanksgiving like maybe 3 times, and 2 of those were in Sweden with my American sister-in-law. So
yeah. And I will just take this moment because this is something I'm working on personally. I am currently living on Kumeyaay land. And so just to acknowledge the First Peoples who were here, on whose land I live. And I recognize that Thanksgiving was not a bunch of pilgrims and Native Americans coming together. It was much more horrific than that. And the origins were pretty horrific. I try to look at like the gathering and family side of things.
And even if you like take the most, like the best possible version of the story, it's about settlers not understanding how hospitality even works. Like, okay, well, yep, they had their life saved by the people who actually lived there, and then they didn't actually reciprocate. I was about to go on a whole rant about the term Indian giver, and I'm not going to.
Oh yeah, we know.
We all know. All of the Swedish indigenous people were just in the very north of Sweden, so I live on a pile of rocks, but yes.
Isn't that what all of Sweden is?
Trees, too.
Okay, rocks and trees. Good.
But I can link to some interesting history about the Sami people of Sweden.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know anything about the native people of Sweden, except what I've learned in Frozen, which is not at all any of that. Like, Frozen, I was like,
or is it?
I was very interested. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation, the implications of Frozen 2. But yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge that as we're talking about Thanksgiving, and this will be coming out right around Thanksgiving. So yeah, so she brings Carl home for Thanksgiving. Of course, then we enter into kind of a long series of mishaps and misadventures as the family is just appalled by this guy. And he, in a really kind of interesting way, he's like, hey, I feel really out of place here. Can you take me shopping? So she takes him shopping, and he kind of blends his kooky California style with kind of Southern farm style. So it's like cut off overalls and cowboy hats and scarves and, you know, patches. He's got a very interesting ensemble in this movie. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for the costumer.
And I wonder how much of a role Pauly Shore played in that styling, because Pauly Shore also had, like, this is not, like, a lot of his fish out of water stories are basically Pauly Shore is a fish out of water, not Pauly Shore plays a fish out of water, if you know what I mean. And, you know, like, looking at him in general, I feel like he must have had a large part in, like, crafting his persona on and off screen, sort of, or between screens.
Yeah. So Pauly Shore, as he comes into this family, has like a contentious relationship with all of with the mom, the dad, the little brother, and the farmhand who's working there. And he gets put in the son's room. So he's bunking up with the little brother, and they start out having a contentious relationship until Pauly Shore kind of tells him, like, hey, you like computers? I like computers. I'm kind of a little hacker myself. And they kind of bond over their love of computers and video games and things like that. Then Travis shows up, and he's like, yo, what is this weird guy doing here? Becca, why do you look so different? What's happening? Anyway, here, I'm going to propose to you. And she runs away.
In a cow pat.
Yeah, he proposes to her in the barn.
I kind of wish he had put his knee in a cow pat when he went down on one.
Yeah, you know, like that would have been the better joke than just stepping in it. But yeah, he proposes to her in the barn, and she kind of runs away and tells Krull about it. He's like, oh, wow, all right. Also, side note, this house they live in is not like a plantation house. It has like kind of some similar looks and styles, but it has this awesome tower in the middle of it that I want. I want that tower.
It has always been my dream to have like a writing room in a tower.
Mm-hmm. It's like this tower with windows on all four sides. You can lift the windows up and open them up, and it's kind of Becca's little room. It's not her bedroom, but it's like her escape room. Mm-hmm. And so we get introduced to the fact that Travis is going to propose. So then they go to a fancy dinner at a country club with Pauly Shore and his new duds. Everyone's looking at him. Travis gets up in front of everybody at this country club and starts to propose.
Don't do that. Don't propose in public, especially if, regardless of like what he thinks Becca is feeling, if she's already gotten dizzy once when you proposed, don't do it in public. Never propose in public unless it's something that you've both discussed or like you're very sure that they would like it. And even then, maybe don't, because it's going to be, don't.
Yeah. I mean, I proposed in a national park and there were other people around, and I even still felt squicky about that. I was like, no.
Like in a public place is, I'm not going to say borderline, but like,
but not with a
hockey game when the camera is on you or like family Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, but not with like a full crowd of strangers at this country club.
Or even worse, all the people that you know in this country.
Yeah,
in this city.
Yeah, all the people you go to church with and whatnot. She sees this start to happen. Beckett stomps on Polly Shore's foot. She's like, "Do something." I don't know why he's in charge of stopping this, but he is. And he stands up and he's like, "Yo, you're too late because we're already engaged." And thus begins the real premise of this movie, which is the fake engagement. We get a lot of mishaps as this goes on. And
I do think it's kind of cute, though, because he says, like, she never cheated on you.
Yeah.
Which I think, like it's not, because he could have just been like, "Hey, I touched your girl's cones." but he somehow wants to make it clear that they have this sort of, you know, knight and fair lady relationship.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So thus begins like the process of the family kind of coming to terms with this and Polly Shore winning each of them over individually. He does this by, you know, asking the dad if he can be a farmer, you know, and training under the farmhands to become a farmer, even though the farmhand's doing everything to sabotage him. There's all sorts of wacky misadventures with that involving pigs and tractors and whatever that giant.
And something that I really was thinking about is it's a combine.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, if I was Walter, if I was the dad, I would not feel like Kral had cost him $1,000 because the farmhand set him on a tractor that he knows is hard to handle.
Yeah.
Aimed at a fence. You have to respect the equipment enough to not, like, as a joke, set somebody out and be like, "Haha, it was his fault," because it's not. But that's me.
Yeah. Well, the farmhand is really, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name?
Theo?
Theo is really one of the villains, one of the two big villains of this movie. And, so we get a lot of misadventures, but Polly Shore starts to win everybody over. He gives the mom a makeover, which lets the dad see her.
How likely do you think it is that that woman actually has a bustier in her closet?
A bright pink bustier?
No, because she has the
bright pink thing on top. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Or maybe like it's still there from her wedding because that's the last time she. I was actually because I had to check the math too because for a second I was like, wait, is the mom basically my age? Because like if Becca is 18, 19, she's not. She's in her mid to late 40s. But like, you know, because I'm like, well, if they got married when they were like 19, 20 and then she had Becca, that would make her 37. And I was like, oh, God, no. But
I
like.
Know.
You know, I could see that also in a small town, like you live a completely different life. You grow, especially in the 90s, like you are, I don't want to say an older person, but like you're a matron earlier, possibly,
yeah.
I think. But I could breathe a little lighter when it was like, oh, okay, no, that's not me quite yet.
Yeah, isn't it a trip to think of these movies and be like, oh, we're closer to the parents' age than we are to the...
Yeah, and it is so many of these movies where you really are like, first, you're like, oh, honey, don't get married now. And then you're like, oh, honey, actually do cut your hair because that feels really good. But, you know, you're like, also like, don't get a tattoo when you're 18. You're not.
Yeah. Oh, I have
and
one.
That was the actress's actual tattoo that they then added into the script, which I think is kind of cute. And I like that Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers is the tattoo artist.
Yeah, Flea's the tattoo artist. There's some, there's interesting. And as I mentioned before, In the Halloween party, there's somebody quote unquote dressed as Encino Man, but it's really just Brendan Fraser as Encino Man eating a frog. And, where were we? So yes, they're engaged. He just made over the mom. He goes, fishing with the dad and grandpa has a heart attack. But during that, fishing trip, he tells the dad like, "Hey, your dad's really hard on you. Kind of like you're hard on your son for liking video games." Dad's like, "Oh, I've never thought about it that way just because we have different interests." So he's won over the dad. He helps grandpa when grandpa's having a little heart attack. He goes to give him mouth to mouth and then grandpa wakes up and screams because he doesn't want to get kissed by Polly Shore. And then Travis shows back up and he's like, "Hey, you know, I feel like I really wasn't good to you. So I'm going to throw you a bachelor party." So he throws Kral a bachelor party where they roofie Kral. And while they're roofing him, Tiffany Amber Thiessen does like a sexy dance as he's about to pass out. And then they roofie, well, we don't see this. They give Tiffany Amber Thiessen a beer. The next day, Thanksgiving, it is now Thanksgiving. They wake up. Becca goes out to the barn because she heard that Carl passed out there after his night of drinking. And he's in the barn with Tiffany Amber Thiessen. They're both sleeping. And she's like, oh, my God. And then Tiffany Amber Thiessen gets in her car. And the seat's really far back. And Becca's really mad. So this is all like everything's kind of coming to a head. Carl talks to Becca and it's like, hey, like this wasn't even a real relationship. Besides, like you need to be honest about who you are. Like you need to come clean.
Did you bring me here as a buffer?
Yeah. Did you bring me here because you didn't want him to propose to you or you needed some protection? Like, be honest. You have to be honest. So the movie is really all about everyone kind of being honest with who they are and what they're trying to do. So Travis shows back up, of course. And as Tiffany Amber Thiessen is leaving, he's like, how could you? And shames her. And it's definitely hinted that they have been like sleeping together. They've had a relationship or something.
Yeah. And that's where he like, you know, loses any redeemability. I was about to say mm-hmm. redemptibility, where he loses any redeemability. Cause he could have just been like, you got really drunk or, you know, whatever. Like, it's still shitty that he drugged her, but making her feel, cause you can see like something breaks in her.
Yeah.
When he's just like, he basically, you know, calls her the town slut.
Yeah.
And breaks it off with her because now he figures he's going to go inside and propose and yep. pretend that nothing ever happened.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's like, it's extra cruel that like added making, you know, drugging her and then using that to find an excuse to break up with her and tell her that she's a horrible person. It's really, really awful.
And also like, I feel also that he's just sort of like, you know, creating a false memory of, if not date rape, then yeah. like taking away her, like her ability to consent to, like, you know, they didn't have sex, but she thinks that they did and that she doesn't remember it. And like she wasn't there for it, and waking up and being like, holy fuck, I got so
yeah.
drunk that I don't remember. Like, that's not a good feeling, like, regardless of gender, but as a woman being like, holy fuck, what? You know, it's just, yeah. That's not nice to do someone. And it wasn't in 1993 either. Right. You know, like, it wasn't like a haha funny thing. He is a dick.
Yeah, it's the moment he goes from, like, annoying ex-boyfriend to, like, full-blown asshole.
Yeah, because like the drugging thing feels like it's like he's immature, he's 18-19, and it feels like a common sort of comedy trope, like we get them both drunk and then we'll just let everyone sort of assume yeah. when, you know, you find his underwear in her closet, like, you're just like that sort of like, but yeah, no, that's not cool, not cool, bro.
Yeah, so Travis joins the family for Thanksgiving. Crawl is hitchhiking home, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen is driving away. She finds in her car the thing of pills. She realizes what must have happened. She turns around. She picks up Crawl. They go back to the house, and they confront Travis for drugging them both. And then she's like, and when I got in my car this morning, you said you saw me drive away with Crawl. But when I got in my car this morning, my seat was really far back, which means someone really big must have been driving it. And the farmhand is a really big guy. So then it's like, it was him. And so Crawl punches Travis.
And also something that I hadn't thought about as a kid, I don't think. But now I'm like, and also if someone is as drunk as you have pretended that she was, you don't let them
drive away. Yeah. Anything he did, lie or real, makes him an asshole in this
right?
story. So Crawl punches Travis. Theo, the farmhand, gets fired. And Crawl and Tiffany Amber Thiessen get to join the family for Thanksgiving. And that's pretty much the end of the movie. It's, you know, it's just kind of like...
Yeah, they take a family photo.
Yeah, they take a big family photo in front with the... say, cheesy. And yeah, that's Son-in-Law.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
Do you think this movie has a main character?
I mean, I think, like, from a 90s movie point of view, it's Pauly Shore. Like, this is a Pauly Shore movie.
Right. And like, you could see it as it like also partly Becca's story because she's like the catalyst. She is the person who like has the growth of like finding herself. But I feel like this movie doesn't necessarily have a main character.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I feel like this is not even like, oh, it's an ensemble piece. I feel like it's just like a story, like it's a little framed story sort of. Like, I agree that yes, Pauly Shore is, but because like, he is both the person with the least power and kind of the most power, like he has the high ground sort of in the story, and he grows a little bit in that he's like, oh, right, like you can do manual labor or whatever, but he doesn't really change that much. He only stops being quite as bro-y throughout this movie. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the main character has to change somehow. And the only thing that changes is that he like try stuff, and Becca maybe realizes that like you don't have to change as much, but it's also okay to grow. And, like, everyone changes a little bit in this movie, right?
I agree. I think that's like the whole point of the movie, is that the family is really anxious about California, right? There's this kind of taboo about California of being this kind of weird
den of iniquity,
this weird Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And as soon as they see Crawl, he embodies everything about that to them, and she has changed her look. So she also is like feeling very Californian all of a sudden in a way that makes everybody uncomfortable.
I think it's really cute though, like that way that when, I mean, I guess it can happen later too, but like when you are a teenager where you can just like sink completely into a sort of subculture or style or personality.
Oh, yeah.
In like the course of 4 days, because if you think about it, like, it's Halloween, and then Thanksgiving is about 3 or 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
So she's just there, and I kind of love that. And I think you're supposed to read it as both charming and a little silly in this movie.
I think.
But
so.
But I kind of love that, like, you know, like a 14-year-old who, like, between, like, before they start high school, especially if it's somewhere else, but in general, we're just like, oh no, I've always been emo.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, and like she comes, you know, like she's adopted like his mannerisms, his idiomatic approach to the English language, and I kind of love that. It just makes me happy. It's very cute.
Yeah, it is. But to go back to your question about like the main character, I think like what I would have liked a little more is a little bit more of Becca's story, little bit more, because as soon as they get to the farm and it kind of switches to be the Pauly Shore fish out of water story, she kind of fades off a little bit.
Yeah.
And it becomes about, you know, the scene that I really remember as a kid was when the farmhand is teaching him how to farm and he keeps messing with him. It's kind of an extended little farming montage. And that's the one I really remembered thinking was just so funny as a kid.
Because, like, with the fish out of water thing, like, she is, you know, a fish back in her old pond. And that's also a really interesting story to be like, well, what is it like to meet these people as suddenly where you've seen something bigger and different and suddenly be like, because that's also sometimes where teenagers really turn into assholes when they come home and everything is really suddenly small and dingy and they can't quite behave about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's say though that Pauly Shore and that Crawl and Becca are the main characters, because here's, I'm gonna talk everything in a circle once, because you can read the end, because they have this almost kiss moment,
yeah,
and she is jealous when she thinks that she's not like, you ruined the illusion. She seems actually jealous.
Yeah, actually hurt
that he has slept with
Kelly Kapowski,
Tiffany Thiessen. So like And because he doesn't, he interrupts her when she's about to spill the beans, and he says, like, we've decided to put off the wedding date. And I don't read that as we're going to break up amicably, pretend to break up later. It's like, let's not close this door.
Yes.
Like, I feel like there is this sort of possibility that's still left open there. That's not like, oh, everything turned out okay. It's like, all right, this is something that they might explore when they return to California, right?
Well, and he mentions that, you know, he has that talk with her after he hangs out with Dad and Grandpa, where he's like, hey, I really like your family and I feel bad for lying to them. And so we need to, like, can we please just come clean about this? And she's like, no, please don't, just like, let's see this through. this trip, and then I'll say we broke up when we go back. And then at Thanksgiving, at the very end of the movie, it's that she's about to tell the truth, and he does say no, we're holding off. And so I think that like that moment to me has reads as we're gonna start dating when we go back to college,
right?
And then see what happens.
Yeah, because a part of me, like, I kind of like that they are quote unquote just friends, and in a way that feels very like unthreatening, uncomplicated. Like, he just wants to help her because he sees himself in her in some way, and there's no like, there's no charge there. And so it's like, well, they needed to get to know each other in another way that's not just like, hey, party, college, woo.
Yeah.
And that it literally is just like, it's not like, oh, we see each other in a new way now. It's just like all of a sudden, you know, like they've not been falling in love over this. It's just like it occurs to them that that's the thing that they could do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I will say, like, in thinking about that, what you just kind of mentioned there is, so much of Krall's motivations in this movie are about him really wanting to make other people happy.
And wanting family, because he's never really had that.
Yeah, which I found very endearing. He keeps asking the grandpa to come whittle with him. He goes, I'm just going to keep asking until you let me sit down and whittle with you.
Right? Yeah. Krall is a Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Krall is a Hufflepuff. That is absolutely accurate. Yes.
And you know what I just realized, and this is obviously coming enormously from my own perspective, I could also read him as having Asperger's, because he's like comes in and he's like, he can't quite read social situations.
Yeah.
So he's like done his best to like find solutions where like if you come off as a little weird and a little too much but pleasant, then all your weirdnesses will be ascribed to, oh, that's just Krall.
Yeah.
But he's still like, he's very enthusiastic and he wants to like be with, you know, be in the human village where the people are, but he doesn't quite know how.
Yeah. That's a really interesting read on him too, because honestly, the times I disliked him the most was with the like ooga ooga stuff, which again kind of starts to fade off pretty quickly.
Because it's like, because now he's in a context where he doesn't need to be the same kind of dude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So like the side characters, I feel like, you know, I like them. They're sweet. I don't like Theo. I don't like Travis. We're not supposed to. I really like that Tiffany Thiessen isn't the bitchy girl who stayed behind.
Yes.
She's just like, she's a nice girl. She's very much like a nice kid, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character? I kind of like Pappy just because like he just sits there. And he's like,
yeah, I like him. And I also, in a weird way, even though he does kind of represent this toxic masculinity, the son is a, like, really interesting character to me. Like, I don't know if he's my favorite character, but there's something intriguing. I'm like, how did you get this way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, you know, I want to know more about the son. So it doesn't make him my favorite by a long shot, but he's like very intriguing.
You're curious about him. Cause yeah. Cause he feels like very much like parts of him are very much like stock character teenage boy from like the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. But then he also, and like the actor really manages to make him super real, because there are times where like he just softens and it's really nice in a way that like you don't expect either a director or like a, you know, 13-year-old actor to manage. Yeah. I like that. Do you have a favorite part? Is it the farmer montage?
I mean, I don't know. I think for me, like, that's kind of a fun, like, physical comedy bit. I don't know if I have, like, a favorite part specifically.
My favorite part is the old people who are waxing the floor with their butts on each other.
That is just so funny. You know, I will say, I saw those extras dancing in that square dancing scene when Pauly Shore gets on the mic and starts to, like, make the square dance kind of dirty dancing, and that was pretty funny.
Shine the floor, and they're rubbing their butts against it. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I also like just when Pauly Shore walks into the country club in his new getup and everyone is just staring. I mean, that's
a classic. Very good slow pan upward.
Yeah,
and I think like with the end, like we said, it's open in a nice way, it's satisfying, it's cute. So here's an interesting, I think this might be our lowest grade movie from Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 21% fresh rating from critics.
That is pretty
58%
low.
58% from audiences. And it has a 5.8 on IMDb. What would you give this?
So I think for me, I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed revisiting this movie. And particularly how charming I feel Pauly Shore is in this role. Despite some major issues with toxic masculinity kind of throughout the movie, everyone has a really interesting kind of redemption arc of like coming together and learning about acceptance and love and family and all those good things. And it made me feel good at the end.
And I feel like this is a movie that could like be updated fairly easily with just some editing rather than like we have to remake it. And like, cause like the icky parts, the very old feeling parts are like, they're excisable. They're just like,
absolutely.
Okay, let's just. Which is surprising because parts of it, especially in the beginning, I was like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I got really nervous for this movie with the UCLA version of Pauly Shore. And once they get to the farm, that eases up so much.
Yeah.
I think the things that kind of hamper this movie for me are the things that I think probably would hamper it for most viewers, which is the really toxic masculinity stuff. There's a lot of body shaming and fat jokes in this movie, which kind of rub me the wrong way every time. I think the farmhand is a big guy. I think there's ways to do similar jokes about his presence and about his, because he's also very tall. He's just like a big guy. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's ways to do those jokes about being intimidating and big and taking
because
up
he
space.
Looms.
Yeah, and taking up space in a way that isn't always about like lose the gut, you know, and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. You know, like right when he gets fired, there's one last one where he's like, he's going to need a lot of food stamps. And I'm like, oh, come on. So those parts of it kind of held it back to me. But I think like I enjoyed it. I had fun. I liked Pauly Shore in it. I liked Becca. I liked the family. I'd give it like a 7. I think it's a solid. I don't know if it really qualifies as a rom-com, but it's a solid.
We decided that it does.
Yeah, it's a little solid Thanksgiving themed movie with elements of the, like the whole movie is a meet cute.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I think I would give it like 6 or a 7, like maybe a 6.5. So we are slightly kinder than the Rotten Tomatoes users and the IMDb users, but we're pretty much there.
Yeah.
So I think like aside from the things that we've been talking about with fixing, like removing some of that stuff, I think my main fix would be like, Travis isn't an asshole. Not just because I hate him, but I feel like there's this weird thing. Like you can grow out of a relationship, you know, like she doesn't mm-hmm. have to marry him just if he hadn't drugged two people, and he doesn't have to have drugged two people for her to be able to say no. And I think it would sort of, if he was just like a little bit of an asshole because he's just like annoyed at the whole situation, because that's also an interesting story to be like, you don't owe him your hand in marriage because you've been together for 5 years, and you mm-hmm. he doesn't have to be a complete asshole for Pauly Shore to seem like the better option, you know. I think that's my main fix, just because I think it's a better story. Like, yes, it's satisfying to see him get his comeuppance, but also like the whole Tiffany Thiessen thing is just leaves a very bad taste in my mouth. What about you?
That's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about it in that way, but that's a really cool fix. I think for me, it's just kind of snipping out those things that I don't think add anything to Pauly Shore's character and replacing them with, you know, less
more stuff.
just replacing him with less kind of pointed jokes, because I think this movie is really at its best when Pauly Shore is being earnest and really trying to help others or trying to fit in. You know, there is a really endearing quality to this movie that I, again, really caught me off guard. Was not expecting that. I was expecting to feel much more cringy, but I think probably just taking those bits out.
All right, I think we fixed it. Can we make it weird? Because I kind of want the whole farm to just go full-on California weirdo.
That's what I was kind of thinking, too.
Because I was thinking, or like maybe they meet a little bit in the middle, like he calms down a little, and Walter also learns to rollerblade. Like, you just...
Oh, yeah.
Just... Because part of me was also like, I kind of also want the Clampets. Because like when they're going to the college, it's just like... But I just... Like, it would be really funny if he just brings like his sort of skills and all of his different majors in there, and everyone dresses kind of funny, and he can even, you know, affect the whole town. Because you can see the town is confused, but kind of positive to him, because like he's nice, like you're saying. So I just think that would be really funny. And like when Pappy starts speaking Shore-ish, I don't know what you would call that that idiolect.
Shore-ish is good.
I like it. Buddy.
Buddy. The Leaning Tower of Chisa. I think that's a really fun one. I also kind of thought, like, yeah, I'd like to see more Californication of this family in this movie's very interesting view of 1990s California, which is very specific, a very specific mm-hmm. kind of California. And I don't even think that Pauly Shore is quote unquote California in this movie. I like that that's how the family sees him.
You know what this is? This is a very good sibling movie to Romeo and Michelle. Like, you create your own version of this, and they live on Venice Beach too, but you have this, like, sort of hyper-colorized, fun, weird, and, you know, they're from somewhere in the Midwest, and yeah, it just occurred to me. Ooh, that would be a mashup. That
would be a really interesting mashup. My Make It Weird was actually, like, it's a different movie. For sure. But what happens if the Pauly Shore character is a woman, right? What happens if she's in an all-girl dorm and it becomes this kind of, it almost becomes a little bit of...
Because they're already scared about lesbians.
Right. So I was like, I'd forgotten about that. So I was like, oh, is this movie going to like veer into questions about her sexuality? I couldn't quite remember that. And then I was like, oh, no, it's not. But that would be like an interesting version of... like this small town, you know, this small rural town kind of coming to terms with their daughter's potential non-heteronormative sexuality could have been kind of interesting.
And then it doesn't even matter if she is queer or not because she gets to experience how they would treat her if
right.
she was.
Right. And so
I really like that.
It's a very different movie. It's probably a more pointed and less goofy movie. Yeah, I don't know.
But in the 90s, it could have been done both really well and really horribly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And if it had been done well in the 90s, you'd been like, this is so weird and I love it.
Yeah.
Did we just like learn from this movie that Pauly Shore is better than we thought he was?
That is kind of my takeaway. Is like, I kind of want to see more Pauly Shore. I want, what is he up to?
Me too. Because I think I've seen most of them, and there might be one or two like Pauly Shore vehicles that I haven't seen. But yeah, like, that's something to give thanks for, to rediscover, you know, someone from your youth who did not make movies that, with hindsight, are just horrible and creepy and disgusting.
Absolutely.
I like that. Good for us. next week, we'll be talking about Sweet November to round out our November movies. You can
love
find
it.
Our show notes at theincomparable.com/chickflickfix. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/chickflickfix. We're chickflickfix on Twitter and Instagram, where our color theme has changed to red and green. We'll be back
for the holidays.
Say goodbye, AJ.
Goodbye, AJ.